Depending on the underlying technology used, OLAP can be broadly divided into two different camps. One is multidimensional OLAP or MOLAP and relational OLAP or ROLAP. MOLAP stores data in multidimensional cubes and ROLAP stores data in relational databases. So, as we are seeing in the name itself, if it is getting stored in the relational database, it is ROLAP. If it is stored in multidimensional cubes in the respective database, it is called as an MOLAP. OLAP enables end users to perform ad hoc analysis of data in multiple dimensions, thereby providing the insight and understanding they need for better decision making. So, OLAP gives an instant online data will be used for the data warehousing, and this helps in insight and proper understanding of what exactly is the decision they have to do in the future based on this particular data. Now, let us see another term, drill down. So, what will happen in this drill down is that from the top layer, we will be reaching to the minute and the last transaction detail. Say, example, I can give an example of a statement of a customer. A customer statement is there, or you can say a customer statement is there. A customer can have multiple accounts in the specific bank. So, in the first drill down, what will happen is that the customer data is be again, from customer data, we'll be going to the account data. From account, we'll be going to transaction data. From transaction data, we'll go to a specific transaction. In the specific transaction, we'll go to and find out what exactly is a transaction for. Is it for a mobile payment, or is it for a loan repayment, or is it for an investment, or is it for a deposit? So, going to this minute part is called as drilling down and going to the reaching to the root of the entire transaction. Drill down is a process of dividing an information area up to finer and finer layers in a hierarchy with the objective of narrowing down to a specific area of data that can be analyzed for a business decision. Say, example, in the case which we have seen in the account case, if a bank has to take a decision based on the transaction that has happened to check out how much is the person using for depositing the money to the bank or creating a new deposit to the bank. This kind of data will help. Or if you have to find out how much is the life insurance is going to make a payment from his account, transaction account, this can be used. This drill down will be helpful. Drill across is data analysis across dimensions. Drill through is data analysis that goes from an OLAP cube into the relation database, and drill up is a data analysis to a parent attribute. So, from a transaction, if you are going to reach to the top customer, it calls as a drill up. From customer, if you are going to reach a transaction level, it becomes a drill down. Hierarchy defines the navigating path for drilling up or drilling down. All attributes in a hierarchy belongs to the same dimension. Slice and dice, like you are mentioning, data can be sliced and diced. Let us see how it can be done. Is the simplest meaning of this term is to present data information in a variety of different and useful ways. So, same data is going to be same. How it is going to be differentiated is by slicing the data that is available and dicing the data. Essentially, it is a process of breaking down your mass of data into smaller parts to enable analysis from different viewpoints for a better understanding. So, I can give an example of repayment. So, repayment of a specific loan is the main data. From there, we are splitting this into principal repayment, interest repayment, charges repayment, penal interest repayment. So, this is a differentiation, this is a slicing that will happen from the main data of transaction repayment. You typically dice and then slice data views. Smaller slices of data provided in different views can elicit better insight. So, this kind of data slicing and dicing will help the take the decision makers to ensure proper data is being used for the having a proper better insight. Let us see the entire data warehousing architecture here. Source systems will be external data sources and internal operation systems will be there as a source systems. From here, the data is moved to a data staging area, which is called as a metadata. From here, ETL is happening, extract, transform and load system, and the load will do the entry into data warehouse. From data warehousing, it is taken to data presentation area, and OLAP servers are being connected to data warehouse system so that they can data warehousing can get the data directly from OLAP servers, or it can feed the OLAP servers. From here, data warehousing is again split into data marts, which will be smaller pieces of data. From here, again, the data is getting accessed, data is getting mined for various purposes, analysis is happening, business intelligence is happening in these particular cases, and query or reports are being extracted, executed from this particular analysis. So let us come to the other major discussion point, which is nothing but data cleansing. Data cleansing is a process of altering data in a given storage resource to make sure that it is accurate and correct, deleting old, incomplete or duplicated data. So this is what is data cleansing, and data cleansing will be happening at the time of ETL, extract, transform and load phase. There are many ways to pursue data cleansing in various software and data storage architectures. Mostly focus on careful review of data sets and the protocols associated with in any particular data storage technology. So this based on the storage architecture, we are going to have a careful review of data sets, and by this we will be in a position to identify which are the data that is to be cleansed, how much data has to be cleansed. The data cleansing methodology may use parsing or other methods to get rid of syntax errors, typographical errors or fragments of records. So this data cleansing includes removing all of the data and correcting the data wherever it is required. Typically, each enterprise system is measured on getting the tasks of that system done in the shortest time at the lowest cost. This is what the entire organizations are working towards, shortest time at the lowest cost. While each system ensures data integrity within the system, inter-system data integrity is seldom evaluated. This is not intentional, but fate accomplishes what one system calls a product, another system deems is a component or even a service. So this is where the data integrity comes into picture, where each system will be having a different value. For example, a value of 0 in one specific transaction, okay, may be okay for a specific product or maybe a specific component, but it may not be okay for another product or component. So in other component, other product, it should be proper value should be there, and not 0 is not allowed because of the requirements of the specific product. When you are coming to data warehouse, based on the whatever is the requirement, the data cleansing happening. If for the specific report, 0 is not allowed, the 0 entry will be removed from the system itself. At the same time, if another product is required, another report is required, it will be kept. So when data from all these systems get into a data warehousing, we have a big problem. The result is the need for data cleansing. Data warehousing is a system used for managerial decision making, and it is paramount that data warehousing systems have clean data on which they report. So accordingly, ETL runs on the data from staging data to take into the respective data warehousing tables. When we split into columns and rows, this data transformation is also happening. Now let us see. We discuss about what is a data and what exactly are the different kinds of data that is going to be there. Let us see what is a dirty data. These are data that has anomalies that create wrong outputs. Dirty data is created when reality is different from what is captured and stored. So, say example, you are going to store this as 1 lakh rupees there, but actually in actual case it is going to be say 10 lakhs. So this actually happens because of data quality problems are present in a single data collection such as files and databases due to misspellings during data entry, missing information or other invalid data, this data, dirty data is coming to picture. So there is no point in taking this dirty data towards the entire end and giving a wrong data as an output to the user, output to the management. In order to provide access to accurate and consistent data, consolidation of different data representations and elimination of duplicate information becomes necessary. This is where the data cleansing comes into picture and dirty data is getting removed from the system. First of all, the main purpose of dirty data is to ensure that they are identifying the data that has to be removed. It should detect and remove all major errors and inconsistencies both in individual data sources and when integrating multiple sources. So this is where the data cleansing happens and dirty data is getting removed from the system. The approach should be supported by tools to limit manual inspection and programming effort and be extensible to easily cover additional sources. So these were the manual inspection also has to be limited. It cannot be that I'm having a data and manual inspection is happening and they are removing it manually. So programming effort will be extensible. More programming will be there in these particular cases to remove the dirty data. And there will be a human in loop involvement is also there, at least during the initial levels, initial stages. Once this entire data is cleaned, then the human in loop can be removed to remove the unnecessary manual intervention in these particular cases. Data quality problems may be of two types, single source or multi-source. You may get the data from one source and this is where the data quality is there, or you can have the same data from multiple sources where you are having an issue. In a single source, you can have data entry errors, misspellings, redundancies, duplicates and contradictory values. In the multi-source, you have issues such as overlapping, contradictions, inconsistent data, inconsistent aggregating and timing. So in multi-sources, all these kind of particular cases may happen. You may get some data that is same kind of data from two different systems in two different values. So this is where the data cleansing and human involvement also may be required in these particular cases. And there are cases where you have to rectify the source system also based on the output you are going to get. This is a continuous process that will be happening for a very long time after the data processing has been implemented. Some of the approaches that are being used for data cleansing are data analysis to detect which kinds of errors and inconsistencies are to be removed. A detailed data analysis is required. This will be done by a data business analyst and the respective management team so that the data is identified, and if it is required, the source data is getting, source is getting modified based on this particular information we are going to get. Definition of transformation workflow and mapping rules. And depending on the number of data sources, their degree of heterogeneity and the dirtiness of the data, a large number of data transformation and cleaning steps may have to be executed. So data transformation may not be a single work job that is happening here. There could be multiple data transformation that may be happening, and cleaning steps also may have to be executed in these cases. Sometimes a schema translation is used to map sources to common data model. For data warehouses, typically a relational representation is used. So schema translation is going to happen in to map multiple data models that are going to be there. Data cleansing approaches includes verification, the correctness and effectiveness of a transformation workflow, and the transformation definition should be tested and evaluated. Example, on a sample or copy of the source data to improve the definitions if necessary. So this is where the correctness has to be rectified by doing a proper verification. Transformation is the place where the execution of the transformation steps, either by running the ETL workflow for loading and refreshing a data processing or during answering queries on multiple sources. Backflow of cleaned data. After a single source errors are removed, a cleaned data should also replace the dirty data in the original sources in order to give legacy applications the improved data to and to avoid redoing the cleaning work for future data extractions. This is a very important, very interesting part where what will happen is that you are going to get the resources corrected. This has to be again fed back to the legacy applications for improved data. Otherwise, when again you are going to get the data from these particular places, again you are going to have your wrong data. So this, as a part of the data warehouse implementation plan, this particular thing also has to be kept into mind on how your rectified data is going to go back to the legacy system. With all the talk and confusion regarding big data, let us move on to the next big thing in the world, which is nothing but big data. There are many who may think that the future of the data warehousing is over. It is not that. Still, the data warehousing is still growing, and we are coming to new terminologies like big data is coming to picture. Big data systems will usually augment the data warehousing of platforms. So what will happen is that from the data warehousing becomes a subset of a big data. The data warehousing platform is typically based on a relational data, DBMS, and the data it is structured and generally originates from an organization's operations and transformation systems. So data warehouse actually, however, clean and massage data and keep them in its own data mass. Okay, but in a data lake, when we are discussing about data lakes are actually places or data where it is getting stored in the raw data in the same unstructured format, and that is getting used for multiple reasons by the organizations. From there, it fetches the data, and again, some different kinds of reports will be generated. This cannot be a replacement for data mart, because data mart is a structured, I mean, from unstructured data it has come become a structured data, but in data lakes it is unstructured raw data which is used for multiple purposes. In the scenario of a big data analytics implementation, some of the consideration which has been taken into consideration are existing versus first time users of data versing, whether the people who are going to use the data, big data analytics, are existing, or are they going to use a first time user? Would have the existing users would have to study the extensions that are required, why they have to go to a big data analytics, they have to consider, and what are the different extensions they have to include in the current data warehousing to make it as a big data analytics system that has to be studied. Various first time users will have to design their data warehousing platform with a vision for the future. So before proceeding further for a future thing, they have to consider this particular thing, then they have to proceed further. Large versus small and medium businesses is that in the large corporation, we choose an RDBMS, an analytical database or hybrid transaction or analytical processing HTAP concept. Whereas in small and medium businesses, they have to consider pre-configured cloud-based data warehousing appliances or DWAS, data warehousing as a service setup that minimizes administrative requirements. One more important thing that has to be considered and covered here is that having a data warehousing system is not so easy, and it requires its own costs also. So when the large companies will be in a position to manage the costs that are required that will be involved in the implementation of data warehousing, and more importantly, maintenance of that data warehousing, it may not be possible for a small and medium base medium businesses. So it is better for small and medium businesses to opt for a cloud-based data warehousing applications, and they can use the data warehousing as a service for getting the data. Only challenge here in a cloud-based data warehousing system is that your data will be saved in the cloud, and you have to ensure that when you are going for a cloud implementation, you have to ensure that all the security related policies are taken into consideration. For example, in India, till now, none of the banks has gone into a cloud-based data warehousing because of the same specific reasons. In the scenario of a big data analytics implementation, some of the consideration of data warehouses are cloud implementation we have to consider, particularly for small and medium businesses, and if the company is running a lot of application in the cloud, in such cases, a DWAS may be a great option. Okay, so if it is a large company and if they are already running many applications in the cloud, then DWAS is a better option for them to proceed further, which will be cost effective as well as more benefits they'll be having in the cloud. Data latency requirements for near real-time data warehouses requiring minimal latency, an optimized data warehousing platform shoots best. However, the data warehousing environment may have to be augmented with high-speed hardware and software to meet the latency objectives. This also has to be considered when they are going for a data warehousing system. Integrate with big data. Data warehousing system appliances and data warehousing offerings tend to have the greatest integration with big data analytic capabilities. So this has to be, this is one of the future that is going to be there in the data warehousing when you are going to integrate with the big data. Data warehouse deployment options. Now let us see what are the different deployment options available for a data warehouse. A data warehouse environment can differ vastly from one organization to another based on multiple considerations, the vertical, the size of the organization, the industry, its organization structure, etc. As such, there can be two types of deployments. One is enterprise data warehousing or a data mart or a combination of these particular things. So there is the option that you are having enterprise data warehouse where you are going to have a single data warehouse, or the data warehouse it is split into multiple data marts, or you can have both also. An EDW, enterprise data warehousing, is architected to contain all of the pertinent data from an enterprise operational systems and external data sources and is used across all departments. So it has the capability of going, understanding each department. You can have a different enterprise data sourcing system will be in a position to, or it has to be architected accordingly. The current approach is to create data mods, which are smaller in scope data sources that focus on individual business or departments or sub verticals of the company's business. Like previously we had discussed in this chapter, the enterprise level data sourcing, even though it has been tried by many multiple organizations, still it is not in a position to have a great success. It is always better to have a data warehouse and split into multiple data mods, and maintenance will be much better in this case. Data mods can provide quick reporting and business intelligence for specific departments. So let us see what are the data warehouse deployment options that are there. This is a data warehousing architecture with multiple data mods. This is what we are able to see in the architecture diagram we are having. This has withstood the test of time and met most BI requirements of organization. This is a typical data warehousing architecture we are having. So what we can see here is operational environment. What we can see here is the multiple multiple data sources which you are having. From here the extraction is happening, transformation and aggregation, etc. is happening here, and then it is getting loaded into data mods, and then it is getting loaded into enterprise data warehouse. And this is from here the business intelligence and decision support queries are getting handled from here, this particular thing. And here if you see, this operational environment is analytical environment. However, with the spate of technologies and technological innovations that come with big data analytics, comes the inevitable disruption to existing architectures, techniques and traditions. Data warehousing and BI business intelligence environments are not immune to that particular thing. Accordingly, changes and disruptions are happening in a data warehousing also. The next generation data warehousing and business intelligence architecture is emerging from all the tumult. Like whatever we are seeing, the disturbance is happening in data warehousing and business intelligence also. So accordingly, the new architecture that is going to come in the data warehousing system is what we are going to see now. Advanced analytical capabilities such as statisticals and predictive analytics. It is not enough that I am going to do an analytics on the past data. I have to consider what is going to happen in the future. I have to predict what is going to happen in the future. This kind of analysis the data warehousing is in the position to provide. This will be real-time analysis on real-time data. This is one more important thing that is happening. As and when a transaction happens, the real-time data is getting captured and getting analyzed, and sophisticated data visualization. For example, in banks, when you are talking about the banks, and you will be having there is some concept called as a performing asset and non-performing asset. Okay, in which case the system should be in a position to identify which are the non-performing assets that are going to be there for a specific bank or a specific quarter. So now what happens is that in the sense that non-performing assets, in the sense that they are not, the loan has been taken by a customer and the customer has not made the payment for the specific loan during a specific quarter. He has not made any payment at all. So now on the last day of the entire year, on 31st of March of each and every financial year, it is necessary for the bank to identify which are the specific transactions or which are the specific accounts which are going to become a non-performing account. Now, what will happen in scenarios like we are going to have, if you are not going to have a real-time analysis, the bank will not be in a position to identify the accounts that can become a performing asset on the last day of the month, because on the last day of the month, before 2 o'clock on the specific day, they have to complete their entire system. They have to complete their entire financial year. Now, with the real-time analysis, system will be in a position to identify the real-time data and provide the purpose, provide the analytics on the non-performing asset. And they can identify predictive analysis and find out which are the accounts that may become non-performing asset if the amount is not getting paid in the next month or next quarter. So this kind of predictive analysis or the real-time analysis helps the banks to ensure that they are not in a position to identify the accounts which are becoming non-performing asset based on the real-time data and on the specific day itself. And again, sophisticated data visualization. How you are going to showcase the data to the respective management system can be, that is a major thing that is happening in the near future of the data warehousing that is getting implemented nowadays. New deployment options such as a cloud, mobile devices, and integrated hardware and software appliances is another thing that is happening in the data warehousing. Now let us come to the extended data warehousing, which is called as XDW, which emanates from the appreciation of the EDW's limitations. Now, we had discussed about multiple limitations of EDW's, okay, which is like new types of data. The data types are getting changed on a frequent basis. And experimental and investigation analysis, like what we are discussed on the, how exactly the data has to be coming and how exactly the data is exposed to the other multiple people. Real-time data analysis and all these particular things are getting is available in the extended data version that is coming in the future or in the recently it has come. These support the next generation analytics. The XDW incorporates following new components: EDW with operational data, a data refinery, a platform for other internal and external data, the RT streaming data and real-time streaming data, and a real-time analysis platform. These are the options available for in the extended data warehousing system. The output from these activities could then be used by the EDW. Once again, this output can again come back to enterprise data warehousing system or data mods, and this can be utilized for further analysis. Now, extended data warehousing, the architecture of extended data warehousing looks like the below, which we are seeing here. Let us go through what exactly it is offering. These are the models and rules of an application. Analytics tools and applications is lying here. From their investigative computing platform, where the investigation of the entire data is happening at this particular point of time, at this particular location. How they are getting is a real-time analysis platform. EDW, enterprise data version, data operation data is pushed to real-time data analysis platform, which again gives the response back for investigative computing platform. Data refinery does the refineration and provides the data to investigative computing platform as well as real-time analysis platform. Other internal and external data or real-time streaming data is also getting fetched to investigative computing platform as well as the real-time analysis platform. So if you can see, at the same time, the past, the history, as well as the real time is getting fetched and getting computed, and analytical tools and applications ensures that you are getting that EDW data is properly analyzed and the reports are getting generated from the system. Existing and new data management, business intelligence and analytics technologies can reside side by side, supporting their designated purposes. The technologies used to provide these capabilities will change as new functionality becomes available and improvements are made in the technological underpinnings. So this is what is happening in the future of enterprise data warehousing, which will be extended data warehousing, and real time as well as the existing data management and analytics will be happening side by side. Next comes the next point of discussion in this particular chapter is business intelligence. How business intelligence is going to be handled and how it is going to help the businesses process more data is what we are going to look into now. Business intelligence is a set of sophisticated analytics techniques used in identifying, extracting, and analyzing hard business data, such as sales revenue by products or departments, associated costs and income. So data is same, which is nothing but sales revenue. Out of the sales revenue, the system will be in the position to find out based on which products. Let us take an example of car. Okay, let us take an example of Tata Nexon, which is my car. I can explain. You will be having various options for a Tata Nexon itself, say XE, okay, XXE. So there are multiple options available based on this product. You will be in the position to identify which product is having a different sales revenue and departments. Again, it will be, there could be multiple departments for entire car itself, maybe an high-end car, low-end car. So this kind of departments also, that could be an analysis, associated cost and income. So each of the car, what is has to be cost and what is going to be the income, and what is the profit that has been made for each of the car. So the data, if you see here, is same, but the output is going to be different for based on the way you are going to intelligently identify and analyze the particular data. BI is accomplished through the use of special softwares and helps companies organize and analyze data to make better decisions. This is how the entire business intelligence is coming into picture, and data is getting bifurcated, sliced and diced based on the requirement of based on the output requirement. Business intelligence software uses number of analytics features including statistics, data and text mining and predictive analysis to reveal patterns and turn information into insights. So this is an important thing that we are covering here, which is nothing but the pattern. So we have to identify what is a pattern that has happened in the entire thing. Say maybe in the previous quarter there is a sales volume off, or a specific product has been sold in a higher way. This specific quarter it has become low, and other products have become on the higher side. So it is necessary for the people to understand why the pattern has changed. So this is where the business intelligence comes into picture, and the pattern should be same. And when they are finding a differentiation deviation on the specific pattern, they have to identify the root cause of the difference in the pattern that is happening and rectify the issue. Otherwise, the business will start going downgraded. Okay, so there should be a industry standard also has to be identified here. And the company standard has to be identified based on which the pattern has to be arrived. And if it is an industry level disturbance, it is fine. But if it is a company level disturbance, and specifically it is product level disturbance, that is seriously the organization has to look into. This is where the business intelligence reports comes into picture and helps the organization to take proper insights and take corrective actions. Now let us come to the other big discussion that is happening in nowadays in outside also is big data. Let us discuss what exactly is a big data and what is big data. Simply stated, it's data that are too large and complex to manipulate or interrogate with standard methods or tools. Now you are having data and it is very huge. You will not be in a position to identify or manipulate the data because of the high volume or the way in a position the system can identify. That is what is called as a big data, to be short. So big data is a general term used to describe the voluminous amount of unstructured, semi-structured or textual data being created on a daily basis. Say, let us take an example of Facebook. When you go into Facebook and you are going to see the data that is going to be taken, collected by the Facebook across the entire people who are going to use a Facebook, you can see a normal data origin system, or for that matter, a normal any kind of operating system or an RDBMS system will not be in a position to do anything out of this particular data. So what is required? You require something which is greater, which is bigger than what exactly you are going to have in a normal data warehousing system. Otherwise, it will not be in a position to, any system will not be in a position to do a meaningful observation or meaningful classification of the data that has been collected. So big data is a popular term used to describe the exponential growth and availability of data, both structured and unstructured. And big data may be as important to business and society as the internet has become. Big data is defined in terms of multiple ways: volume, contributed by many years of stored history data, both transactions summarized in data rows, as well as unstructured streaming data from self-service channels and social media. Velocity. Velocity is the speed at which data is streaming in today, driving the need to deal with torrents of data in near real time. So it is like the times people are updating in the social media, be it Facebook, be it X, or be it Instagram. The number of frequencies that is being collected, identifying, if you see a refresh of a Instagram Reels itself, you come to know how fast the entire, it identifies your, the way or what exactly you want to look at the Instagram Reels. This is how the entire screen system is moving ahead, and big data is helping in doing all these particular things. Variety. Data today comes in all types of formats: structures, numerical data, in traditional formats, databases, information created from line of business applications, unstructured text documents, emails, videos, etc. variability. The data that flows in today may be highly inconsistent, periodical peaks in something is something trending in social media. We have to see what exactly is happening trending in the social media. So you'll be getting an update in the entire Instagram or X saying that this is what is happening is trending in the social media. So this is a variability. This is a reason why you have to have a big data. Complexity. Today's data comes from multiple sources and it is still an undertaking to link, match, cleanse and transform data across systems. So if you have much complexity, much variability, much variety and much velocity and volume, you require big data. The hopeful vision is that organizations will be able to take data from any source, harness relevant data and analyze it to find answers that resolve key issues such as product development strategies and cost rationalization without having to compromise customer service and presence. Now let us take an example in X. If you are going to do one data fetch from X and identify what kind of data, what people think of the product which you are having. Some people may say it is bad, some people may be saying it is good. And again, there should be intelligence in the system to identify what are the fake comments that are coming, what are the good comments that are coming, what are the bad comments, out of these bad comments, what are the fake comments. That is where the strategy, that is where the intelligence comes into picture. Big data is a collection of data from traditional and digital sources inside and outside your company that represents a source for ongoing discovery and analysis. So it is not only that you are collecting data from inside, it is outside also through multiple channels like Facebook, Instagram or through X. You will be collecting the data and you will identify and analyze the data. Big data can also consist of unstructured data that comes from information that is not organized or easily interpreted by traditional database or data models. And typically, it's text heavy. Twitter tweets and other social media posts are examples of unstructured data. So, like you will be having plenty of data that has been inputted by a specific user on a specific specific item, a specific product. From here, system has to pick up the data. Definitely, it is an unstructured data. You will not be in a position to understand. Even human reading will be difficult for us to understand what actually is written. The entire thing. Now, unstructured data has to be collected by the system. And again, we have to consider that it will be in multiple languages. So, the language also has to be converted into a common language for the system to study and understand what actually is written there. Multi-structured data that comes in a variety of data formats and types and can be derived from interaction between people and machines such as web applications or social networks. This is a multi-structured data also has come into picture and it will be collected again from multiple locations, multiple places. As digital disruption transforms communication interaction channels and as marketers enhance the customer experience across devices, web properties, face-to-face interaction, social platforms. So this is where the big data comes into picture. It will be in a position to recognize data from multiple places and multiple ways in which it will be positioned. So, Forrester actually defines this as software and hardware solution that allow firms to discover, evaluate, optimize and deploy predictive models by analyzing big data sources to improve business performance or mitigate risk. Let us see what are the advantages and challenges when you are going to do one social media analytics. This is a very important, very interesting concept that has to be understood. No discussion on big data will be complete without dealing with the role of social media in today's corporate and non-corporate world and the impact of this data in utilizing big data for decision making. So let us take an example. You are having a service which picks up the data from Twitter. And you are going to identify what exactly the user has mentioned in the entire thing and identify what exactly the public is feeling about the product which you are having. So this is possible with the big data and real-time analysis of the data. The most common use of social media analytics is to mine customer sentiment to support marketing and customer service activities. Social media analytics goes beyond usual monitoring or a basic analysis of retweets or likes and holiday posts on Facebook. It is a process to develop an in-depth idea of the consumer and consumer behavior. Social media analytics is a basic foundation for enabling an enterprise to execute focused arrangements like one-to-one or one-to-many. So, enhanced social collaboration over a variety of business functions such as customer service, marketing, support, etc. This data helps in ensuring that the organization is going in the right way and taking a right decision by doing a predictive analysis.